Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. I know I'm doing better now than I was when I came in this morning. If I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And as I say every Sunday, and I'll continue to say, I'll never stop saying it, there's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising His name. Today is the final installment of our Fear of God series, and I'm actually really excited about today because everything's led to this point. And I know that this series has done a lot in people's lives. It has impacted people in such a healthy way because so many people had an unhealthy idea of what fearing God looked like and what it meant. And even if you're jumping in today for the first time, today we'll be able to get some clarity in your life on what the statement fear of God means. So let's jump in to our text that we've been launching from every single week, and that is Ecclesiastes 12. Everybody should have this pretty much written down or a picture of it or something every single week if you've been here. If not, this is the text we've launched from. Here we go. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. That's the whole story. So, man was going about his life, and he was at the end of his life, and he decided that he was just going to finish it all and let you know, if I was to tell you one thing, this would be it. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey His commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. Today we're going to focus on the obey portion of this verse, these verses. I know, obedience. Oh, fun. Yay, this is exciting. This is the greatest end of a series ever, said no one. Except for Pastor Nick. Today we're going to talk about that those who fear God and obey Him and obey quickly, completely, and joyfully are blessed. Yay! You guys look so excited. Now, it says obey His commands. It doesn't say sometimes. It doesn't say when you pick or choose. It doesn't say just on Sunday. It doesn't say half the day on Monday. It doesn't say every other day. It doesn't say just in the morning or just when you're reading your Bible. It just says obey His commands. Am I right? My beautiful wife, Rachel, who's sitting right here. Go ahead and stand up. Let's let everybody know you exist, okay? This is my beautiful wife, Rachel. I'll just turn to the left. Everyone here. Everyone here. Everyone here. There we go. I know, but they didn't know while you were standing up there that you were my wife. Some people, this is their first time here. Right? All right, go ahead. You can have a seat. She loves when I do that. All right, we've been married for 13 years. Yay! July 16th, we were married. Next year will be 14 years. You see what happens? Every year it gets, you add. Smart man. When we stood before God and made a covenant of marriage, the day after, it didn't change. The day after that, it didn't change. There were people in this room that were present for that event. They witnessed it. Now, what if I went to Rachel a few days after, or even in our wedding vows, and I said, hey, babe, 7 days out of the year, I'm going to be unfaithful to you. What do you think she would say? Okay, yeah, if you know Rachel, her gangster would come out. She'd show you a little bit of her McKee sport. But, and then I'd say, hey, babe, you know what? All right, maybe 7 days was a little aggressive. How about 5 days out of the year? I'm gonna do whatever I want. Just five. It's just five. I think she'd hit me again. And then she'd make some phone calls. She'd send an email, a text, and make some phone calls. And then I'd say, you know what? You're right. 5 days is a lot. That's a lot. That's aggressive. How about just three? Can we settle at three? As a matter of fact, I'm a shrewd negotiator. You don't want to play Monopoly with me. I've made people cry. It's almost ruined families playing Monopoly with me. I'm serious. My brother-in-law won't even play with me anymore. I'm just kidding. Not really, but... All right, not 3 days. 1 day out of the year, babe. Just 1 day. She's looking at me like, you're going too far. Just kill the illustration. You're all laughing because this is stupid, right? It's asinine to even think about me saying this or making these statements to my wife. But we do it. Just a vacation. It's Vegas after all. I'm a do me. Nobody will know. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Nope, some of that stuff's come home with you. It's just a bachelor party. Nobody's gonna know. We're not taking pictures. Everybody's turning their phones off. It's just a bachelorette party. We got a boat. It's Deep Creek. We got to make it a weekend to remember. It's just a weekend. We all got matching outfits. It's just a day. It's a girl's day. It's a guy's day. It's draft weekend. Now it doesn't sound as crazy, right? We do the same thing with God. We don't obey what He tells us, and we think it's okay. Partial obedience is complete disobedience. You're like, man, I picked a good day to go to church. Listen, a holy fear of God draws us in, draws us closer to Him. It's not something that repels us or is repulsive. It's good and it's pleasant and it's delightful. Isaiah 11:3, it's God's delight, and in His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 33:6, the fear of the Lord will be your treasure. You're going to hold on to it. You're going to grasp it. You're not letting it go. Treasure, that is one. No Bruno Mars? Nobody's going to sing it? Let me give you an example of a treasure. I had the great opportunity of being invited by some friends of mine that have a YouTube channel, and they got to play hide and go seek at PNC Park. They had the whole park to themselves. It's pretty fun. It'll be coming out soon. You'll get to watch it. I'm giving you a little spoiler alert, sneak peek. They told me that if you found a treasure chest, you were going to win a portion of the game. Now, I don't hide well. Never have. I know who I am. Okay? But I knew that once the game started, I was going to be smart, and it was a 90-degree day. I was going to go hide in an air-conditioned portion of the stadium. Be smart. Work smart, not hard, right? So I went to the luxury suites. We're a few minutes into the game. I walk into the suite. Once I walk in, there's a treasure chest. Huge treasure chest. gold coins all around it. And I was like, man, they spared no expense. These guys went all in. So I walk in, I put all the coins into this giant treasure chest. I pick it up. I was like, man, this thing is heavy. But I won the game a few minutes in. So I start carrying this thing around. It's heavy. It's like 50, 60 pounds in my mind. But it's heavy. It barely fits under my arm. I'm not exaggerating. And I'm carrying it around. I'm not going to let this thing go because it's my treasure. I found the booty. Look it up. That's what pirate's treasure means. I'm a smart man. I wouldn't just say that. And I'm carrying it around because it's mine now. And I'm so proud of it. Other guys are coming in. I was like, look what I found. Look what I found. The one guy who's part of the YouTube crew looked at me like, yeah, that's great, man. That's so exciting. You're going to see when you watch the video, he walks away from me and says, that's not part of the game, but I didn't have the heart to tell him. I stole the treasure chest from the Pittsburgh Pirates organization and had no idea. But listen, why am I telling you this? Because I want you to catch on the fact that the Word of God and fearing Him, you should be so proud of it. You should be so proud of the Word of God. You should be so proud of the fact that He has marked you. You are different. You are set apart. Us as the church, we are the set apart ones. And people should know, not because you're preaching and you're shouting and you're yelling, but by the way that you conduct yourselves. Because you have a healthy fear. Because they know that you're different. Why are you acting different at the bachelor party? Because I'm set apart. I'm different. To fear God, to revere Him, to be in complete awe of Him, to hallow Him, to respect Him greatly, to esteem, to honor, to adore, and venerate Him, to take on God's heart. We love what He loves and we hate what He hates. And here we go. Living in obedience and knowing that God will judge us. We live in obedience knowing that every single act of obedience brings honor and glory to His name. How we live, we will give an account for it. Those who fear God will obey His word immediately, completely, and joyfully. Immediately, completely, and joyfully. You know, the immediately part is hard. The completely part is hard. But it gets you to the joy. It gets you there. So I want to imagine for a second. Can everybody imagine with me? We're in Pittsburgh, right? So Mr. Rogers and Daniel Tiger, and we can all imagine. So here we go. Let's put our Daniel Tiger imagination hats on. You all ready? All right, we're on a road. One road, two ditches ahead. There's a sign. We all there? Everybody say it. One road, two ditches ahead. What's the miles per hour? 20. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you. 5 miles over. No, I'm just messing with you. All right, now these two ditches, one represents legalism and the other one represents lawlessness. Now, the one is full of water and gets you all muddy and dirty and messy, and the other one is all cinders and there's some sharp tumbleweed over there, and no matter what, you're getting scratched and beat up and bruised and cut up on that side. And the other side, you're getting all muddy and nobody knows how deep that puddle is. But let's imagine there's two groups of people, one in the mud and one in the cinders. And one's screaming that, you know, legalism's great. You got to follow every, you got to do it this way. You got to stay this way. And the lawless is just do whatever you want. Just do you. Go to Vegas. Neither of them are right. What's right? Staying straight. Following the guardrails and the guidelines that God's put before us. The law of God keeps us from legalism, and the fear of God keeps us from lawlessness. You know, when we stay on the path that God's placed us on, there's guardrails. There's guidelines. Sometimes there's jersey barriers that keep us from bumping into other lanes or bumping into other cars or crashing. There's guardrails that keep us from falling off the cliff. There's obviously speed limit signs. There's red lights that tell us to stop every once in a while. There's yellow lights that tell us to speed up so we don't have to stop. Some of you caught it. It's a recommendation. There's yield signs to slow down and proceed with caution. Yield signs do not mean stop. That's news for some of you. You can laugh in church, everybody. It's okay to laugh in church. Isaiah 66:2. I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts, who tremble at my word. When you read his word, does it impact you? Or does it just go in one ear and out the other? Does it mean something to you? Or is it, that's nice. I like when God's word said, I will bless you. To look at, to watch, to regard, to look intensely, to pay close attention. Are we trembling when we read the word? Is there an awe? Is there a fear? Are we startled to a sudden alarm? Does his word cause action in our life? Philippians 2:12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now as much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, I have some great friends that you would describe them as gym rats. One of them actually owns a gym. And look at these videos of them working out. One guy's doing box jumps. It's crazy. It's crazy. Some of the workouts he does. The other guy was pushing rocks up a driveway the other day, and it was just like, bro, leave some energy for the rest of us. But I was reading this verse in preparation for today and thinking, like, when's the last time you really worked out your salvation? Like, you put it to work within the kingdom of God. Like, obviously, you're not going to put your salvation under a bench press or a squat machine or leg press machine. You're not going to do box jumps with your salvation, but when'd you put some work into the kingdom? It's a question only you can answer. Psalm 119, powerful people harass me without cause, but my heart trembles only at your word. I rejoice in your word like one who discovers a great treasure. You know, when I was invited to be a part of that YouTube video, It was weeks and weeks and weeks ago. I had no idea that it was going to impact my life and my work, my time with God. I had no idea. I had no idea that identifying that treasure chest that later I found out that I had borrowed from the Pirates organization, which you'll love watching the video. I apologized to them and told them that I did it, and they said, yeah, we were watching you on the security cameras the whole time, wondering why you were carrying this treasure chest around from the Rio Azul. Luxury suite. I was like, well, why didn't you guys stop me? And they're like, it was great. Great content watching you carry this thing around. That thing's heavy. I was like, yeah, you're telling me. Finally, I asked the guys, I said, hey, is this part of the game? And they're like, yeah, no, it's not. We're sorry, it's not. I was like, why didn't you tell me? They're like, great content. It was great. I finally did find one of the treasure chests that was part of the game, and it was a cheap little chintzy one from Michael's. I hope this is all in the video. If you want to see a picture of it, I'll show you a picture. It's great. But it hit me this week when I was reading this. When's the last time I opened my Bible and I was so excited? Like I found a treasure. And this week it hit me that I was excited again. I was so excited to read Colossians 1 to you all during communion this week. You were once enemies, but now you're not because of the blood of Christ. It was like a treasure. It was like a reward. I've been saying that all week. When's the last time you opened your Bible and you didn't even read? You just wept over the pages. Because of the smell of the Word of God. It's like a sweet, sweet aroma. Some of you are like, I've never experienced that, and here's why. You just put it in your pocket. If you don't have a real Bible, please let me know. We'll get you one, because you're being robbed. You're being robbed of a treasure that God has for you. The obedience that you get to walk in when you truly discover the Word of God and the promises that He has for you. I want you to discover that. Obey immediately. He said to another person, come follow me. The man agreed, but he said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. But Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. You know, it's easy for us all to say, yeah, I obey immediately. Imagine that. Jesus says, come follow me. You're like, yeah, but I got to do this first. And he's like, no, let the dead bury the dead. What would you do? Obey immediately. Another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. What would you do? You know, for weeks and weeks and weeks, I invited people to connection groups. And then on the last week, I pulled the pastor card and didn't invite anymore, and I told you that you needed to be a part. A lot of people listened, but now it's, I got this, I got that, I can't go, I got this, I got that. Hour and 15 minutes for connection groups during the week. You know how much time we make for Netflix and for Hulu and for Amazon Prime and for this or for that and for this and for that? But we seem to always find an excuse for the kingdom. and for building up others and building up ourselves in our faith. How much time are we praying during the week? Oh, I can't pray for 15 minutes. You can't pray for 15 minutes? A day? How much are you reading? I don't like reading. I beg to differ because I see you scrolling Facebook a lot. Stop hurting me, Pastor. Truth hurts. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Let's look at somebody who obeyed immediately. Genesis 22, 2 through 3. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. God told him. He got ready. He was going to do it. Immediately he obeyed. Don't lay a hand on that boy, verse 12, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your own son, your only son. Church, I don't know if I'm there. I have one son, Lennon. I love him dearly with all of my heart. If God said, I need you to do this. Here's the mountain. It would have to depend on the day and the time. Like the other night at 12:30, Rachel and I probably would have packed the car up and said, listen. But then Lennon probably would have found out what was going down, and he would have been real cute and stuff. I know I'm joking, but seriously, I don't know if I'm at that level of obedience. But the father of our faith was. Psalm 119:60, I will hurry without delay to obey your commands. In eagerness, with excitement and enjoyment without haste. I think about all the things in my life that I hurry to do. Right now, I love cycling. I love riding my bike. I feel like a 12-year-old again. I get a call from, I ride with three guys pretty much. I mean, there's a huge group of us. We're on a group chat. We always say when we're riding, but it's pretty much Jim, Jim, and Jim, and Nick. Grown men, hey, you want to ride bikes? But one of us texts each other, and it's instant. But there's also kingdom things that are instant. When's the last time the kingdom, when God asked you to do something and you did it in a hurry? You looked for a reason to say yes and not an excuse to say no. I can't answer that for you. Psalm 119, 63, 64. I am a friend to anyone who fears you, anyone who obeys your commandments. O Lord, your unfailing love fills the earth. Teach me your decrees. Listen, the person who fears God obeys immediately, even when it doesn't make sense. I was a baby Christian, and how many of you ever been to Monroeville Mall? Anyone? Okay. Right when you walked in the one entrance, right by Regis Hair Salon, everybody know where I'm talking about? I don't even know what's there now. But when you walked in that entrance, there's a, by the movie theater, there's a movie theater there now. Right down to the right, there was Monroeville Mall Ministries. And they would pray. It was just like a little booth. They would just pray for people. And I heard a story when I was a baby Christian that there was a guy that prayed. He was at the ministry. He was just praying for people. No one came up to the booth all day long, but he was scheduled to be there, so he was just praying for people as they would walk past. And he heard from God as he was in the booth that he just needed to go stand on his head in front of the pop machine. Right? If I heard that, I would have done the exact same thing that you just did, like snort. Crazy God. Number one, I can't even stand on my head. Outside the mall, there was a guy that was debating taking his own life. Debating everything with God. That he decided he was going to go inside, walk around the mall, and try to clear his head. And he said, "You know what, God, if you're real, you need to prove yourself to me. When I walk in this mall, if you're real, there's going to be somebody standing on their head." The guy from Monroeville Mall Ministries obeyed, stood on his head in front of the pop machine. As the other guy walked in, and there's somebody standing on his head in front of the pop machine. Now listen, it didn't make sense. But you know how the story ends. One guy's still alive, and one guy said, "Listen, God, I will obey you the rest of my life, because it didn't make sense, but it does now." I never met either of these guys, but the story still rings true in my life. Obey even if it doesn't make sense, because God sees everything, and he knows more than I know. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. And it doesn't lead to a ditch full of mud and muck or cinders and stones. It's straight and it's narrow. And he'll keep you on the path. Those who fear God will obey God's word completely. Hebrews 5:7. While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. 1 Peter 4:1. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had. May we continue to seek him in all that we do. May we obey God joyfully. Psalm 128. How joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow his ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees, and they sit around your table. Obeying God joyfully. Psalm 128 continue. That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear him. May the Lord continually bless you from Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper as you live. May you live to enjoy your grandchildren. May Israel have peace. Obeying God joyfully, Psalm 112:1. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Church, as we begin to land the plane here today, I know we had a lot of text because the Word of God is what guides us, what leads us, what pushes us forward. Our last text of the day is Luke 6. And I've been praying these verses over our church, our campus, our connection groups all week. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break up against the house, it stands firm because it's well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against the house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. Obedience is what solidifies our homes, our marriages, our church. The foundation that we build upon is solidified by the obedience by which we follow Christ. And I pray for each of us to take a step forward in our obedience. I don't know what God's calling you to. You may be thinking, I'm struggling in this area, or I'm struggling in this area. I just want you to go back to that last thing God's asked you to do. Maybe it's that relationship that he told you wasn't good. Or that addiction he wants you to get help with. Or that anxiety he wants you to reveal and bring to the light. Listen, anxiety's a real, real thing. But there's power in bringing it to the light and not dealing with it alone. Depression is a real thing, but there's power in not fighting it alone. You know what depression loves? Loneliness. You staying in the dark loves it. The enemy loves that. Feeds on it. This is all obedience. God may be calling you to step out in that way, to talk to someone for the first time. Maybe it's you going to Connection Point and saying, you know what, I don't have a Bible. I don't know what it's like to open the Bible. I'll come over, I'll bookmark John for you. What's John? That's not just one of Jesus's friends, it's one of the Gospels, and you'll read it and you'll fall in love with who Jesus is. Because that's what you need to do. You need to know who he is. Well, who's Matthew, Mark, and Luke? Those are his other friends. But I want you to know all about John. Because he tells us who Jesus is, not just what he did. Let's all take a step forward in our obedience. Maybe it's giving. Maybe it's serving. No matter what it is, let's do it immediately, completely, and walk in the joy of walking it out. Amen. Father God, I thank you for everybody that could hear my voice, whether it be in person or online. Lord, I thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, everything that you're going to do. Lord, may we all continue to walk in a healthy fear of who you are and who we get to be because of you. In Jesus' glorious name. And everybody said,
amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Nick.